As voters go to the polls today, state and federal officials say they're more ready than ever for potential cyber interference with American voting systems. Cybersecurity expert Teresa Payton says that's because the 2016 election served as a wake-up call. Payton was the first woman to serve as the White House's chief information officer during the George W. Bush administration. During visits to Illinois State and Illinois Wesleyan Universities last week, Payton told GLT's Ryan Denham that states like Illinois got millions in federal grant money for election-related cybersecurity upgrades and training.
A lot of briefings have been held by Department of Homeland Security with each of the states. It is optional, though. It's states' rights. That's the way the United States is set up. So the states can opt in or out of applying for grants and opt in or out on briefings with Department of Homeland Security. But as far as I know, most of the states that had irregularities during the presidential election cycle have welcomed DHS, and all of the states in some form or fashion have participated either in conference calls, threat intelligence sharing, learnings from the ethical hackers. So there's a lot of awareness. Does that mean we're perfect and we've done everything we needed to do in a short period of time? No. But I think the wake-up call has been there, and everybody's been working pretty fast and furious to try and answer security vulnerabilities that we know.
Well, you're speaking on two college campuses today. I wanted to ask if you think the American education system is doing enough to get people into the cybersecurity, information security fields, especially women and people of color. I wonder if there are more we could be doing to make sure that we have those all those positions filled.
I think we've done a lot. And so please don't take this the wrong way. I really do believe, especially the college and university systems. I get asked all the time by deans and teachers and presidents of colleges and universities, are we doing the right thing? Are we headed the right way? And so that the energy, the attention, and the focus is there. We've actually lost them in grade school, middle school, and high school. And so I encourage my team to get out in the community. I get out in the community and talk, just have conversations with kids to recruit them. And we need everybody, male, female, and all, you know, from a diversity perspective, all different walks of life and backgrounds. It's not just ethnicity. We need everything. So if we're going to come up with the right solutions to design for the human, we need humans from all walks of life, right, to help design for the human. And what's interesting is the pressure that we have put on our grade school, middle school, and high schoolers to perform. And let me tell you how this plays out. So I'm going to paraphrase because I've heard this multiple times, multiple ways. So I'm going to just paraphrase for them. So I'll say, well, how many of you have ever thought about a career in cybersecurity and intelligence operations? Very few people will raise their hand. So then I'll tell them a couple really cool stories of things that I have been able to experience where I've seen, you know, kind of evil in the world, and my team and I have been able to right that wrong, whether it's been for, you know, government, something I could talk about that's not classified, whether it's for a business or for an individual. And I talk about, like, what a noble cause it is and how there's all these different roles that you can play. You could be law enforcement, U.S. military, you could be private sector, you can be government. And so then I'll say to them, okay, so now that you've heard what you can do, what do you think? And I have had kids as young as sixth grade say to me, I haven't had any exposure to this prior to now. And I can't afford to fail. Now is not the time to experiment. I'm like, now is exactly the time in your life to experiment. What do you have to lose? What do you mean fail? Like, my job is different now than it was a year ago. As long as you're willing to kind of learn and put in the time and be passionate about what you do, you know, what I learned years ago in school did not prepare me for what I do today. It's what I learned last week that prepares me for today and next week. And so there's this perspective in young people, and I hear this, whether it's the public school system or the private school system. So we're losing them. And I go back to, okay, so how did I get here? And my dad was in the Marine Corps. I had to transfer schools in the middle of high school, not uncommon for Marine Corps brats to do. And when I transferred schools, I ended up at a Department of Defense school. It was mandatory to take computer programming. I don't know if I would have taken computer programming if it wasn't mandatory. And I got in there, and I loved it, and I was good at it. And there wasn't a now's not the time to experiment kind of thing, right? It was just there and it was expected. And that started me on a path of where I am today. Had I not been in a situation where I had to take the class, I don't know if I would or not. So I go back to, we need to be asking ourselves, what's the branding issue? What's the marketing issue? And why are people not opting in? And then once they opt in, why do they not stay? And we need to get to that root cause.
Well, this next question may get a little close to your classified line that you can't cross, do your best with it. The New York Times reported last week that Chinese spies have been listening into President Trump's unsecured iPhone calls. That was leaked by those around him who think he's being a little bit too cavalier with electronic security. So what advice would you give to this administration or future administrations when it comes to how cautious to be with this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, and so on that one, it was. Alleged. So we'll kind of leave it at that, right? So there's a little bit of kind of very well thought out hypothesis around potentially Russia and China surveilling these phone conversations. And I think that's a very reasonable hypothesis to have. So we'll kind of leave it at that so we don't go too far down a field. But what I would say is, and I have heard the president on the record say he understands that his cell phone conversations may or may not be secure, and that he understands that, and he has the White House military office that actually helps with classified and secured communications. Now, in the course of doing business, presidents will use personal lines, right? So you kind of walk that fine line. But what I would say is whether it's the president of the United States, an executive at a company, a military official, a law enforcement official, the technologies that we have in our hand that seem like they should be secure, we know there's glitches. And there's different potential points of intrusion, right? So the cellular signal of the carrier itself can be hard to replicate and to surveil, but not impossible. But you have to have motive, you have to have means, you have to have capability. You have to have proximity in order to be able to do that, right? So you have to say, I'm going to mimic a cell tower today, and this is how I'm going to do it, and I hope to catch your phone call when I mimic the cell tower, right? At least as it relates to the United States. In other countries that own the telco, there's a whole nother, availability and access that's afforded potentially for different types of covert and potentially nefarious activities. Whether or not that means that a government-owned telco is used for that, that's again a whole nother matter. But then there's other points of intrusion, such as, are you connected to a Wi-Fi network that's not completely secure, or there's a rogue Wi-Fi hotspot named the same thing as that network that you think you know and love and trust, but it's actually not really them. Is your iCloud or your Google, your Droid account, that cloud account, is that secure? Are you using that for messaging and not realizing that your messages transverse through that cloud account? So if it's through the cloud versus through the cellular company, there could be an interception point there as well. And so there's these points of digital connections and digital tracks that are created in our comms that may or may not have anything to do with that cellular signal that I had a phone call on. It can also be Google Home and Alexa. There could be voice assistants where you're having the conversation. There could be, web browsers that you just looked at to get up to speed on what you're getting ready to talk about, right? So as it relates to that, my advice would be, if you do need to use your smartphone for confidential conversations, whether you're the president of the United States or an executive or the president of a university, consider using encrypted apps. So check your surroundings. Turn off Wi-Fi. Turn off Bluetooth on your phone. Check your surroundings. And then consider using encrypted apps such as Signal or Threema. And there's certainly other ones that you can use as well. Those, for me personally, are ones that I use.
That's Teresa Payton speaking with GLT's Ryan Denham. Payton was the White House's chief information officer from 2006 to 2008 during the end of the Bush administration. She spoke last week at Illinois Wesleyan and Illinois State Universities as part of their Adlai Stevenson Memorial Lecture Series.